on this week's Widnes Rugby Chat, episode 20 of 2025. I have a sit-down with Widnes Vikings chairman Stuart Murphy, who answers all of my questions on a range of issues, including finance, IMG, Super League, player recruitment, fixture lists, and more. Enjoy. Stuart, thanks for sitting down with me. Probably chose a good week to do it after a win. I guess the mood's always much better.
Oh, it definitely is, yeah.
What was the feeling like amongst everyone after the win over Toulouse?
It was just absolute excitement. I mean, to be fair, we should have had it over York. Losing those three players didn't help us. And then obviously losing Dougie afterwards. But we were on the front foot then. We were on the front foot this week and obviously managed to keep hold of it. We just got to keep going now and obviously hopefully get the same against Oldham.
Obviously you're in the office and stuff. Does it make a difference to like the atmosphere when you're in?
Everything, yeah. I mean, again, you don't realise how many phone calls you get on a Monday and Tuesday when you've had a bad run. So many bits of advice, so many fans telling us what we should do, what we shouldn't do. Number of people who ring for Alan. It's unbelievable, really. Right. It's quite funny, right. in some respects. But yeah, it does change the mood. It changes everything. I mean, if you come, like, you come out of that win, and you like head up to the pub afterwards or anything like that, and everyone's full of joy and what's happened and this is brilliant. You come out of that on a loss, and it's completely the opposite. It's amplified being an owner and a director and a shareholder. Than what it is just being a fan. I can't tell you.
Yeah.
I remember Matt Roberts on one of his first games, and he was like, didn't know it felt this bad. Because it's completely different.
I guess it's because in some ways, when there is a loss, it's partially up to you to try and turn it around to, you know, I know you're not playing and you're not coaching and stuff, but ultimately...
We'd never get in the way of Alan's coaching. I mean, again, I see comments on a regular basis about the fact of, well, the board should be sitting down with Alan, etc. We don't. That's one thing I can speak about and be completely open and honest on. We'll be there to support Alan, the rest of the performance team and everyone else and the players to make sure that they're getting the best that they can. But we would never step on Alan's toes about how he wants to coach, how he wants to put the team out. If he decides he's playing someone in a different position or anything like that, that's his call, and we will always stand by his decision, and he's 100% got our support on that.
And we saw that a little bit. I know he decided to move some players around, it, you know, maybe backfired on him for a couple of weeks, but we're starting to see it all come together now with Ben arriving and I know Finlay inside as well.
Yeah, well, I was just more glad of being able to get some sleep rather than having meetings at 11, 12 and 6 o'clock in the morning. Obviously, the phone calls and meetings with Australia, but then you're dealing with one side of Australia and the other side of Australia as well. So it's like meeting at 11 o'clock at night, 1 in the morning, and then the agent's coming back to you at 6 a.m. So by the time you've been in work all day, it's the last thing you want to be doing. So you go to bed and get back up for a meeting.
Has it opened you? Obviously, there's a bit more to it with like work permits and visas and stuff. Has that been a new thing for you?
Absolutely. I mean, didn't realise that even before they can enter the country, you've got to get GB clearance. So that comes from the RFL. That can't get granted until the Australian club has actually said that they haven't left any debts or anything behind or left the house a mess with them. So again, you'll have seen like even Finlay Irwin this morning that's been released. He's come out, but he's been playing in Australia. And even though he lives in the UK and he's a UK resident, we couldn't sign him until the clearance came back from Australia. And then, so like with these Aussies that we've had over, so with Jake, Morgan and Ben, we've got to apply to the solicitor. We get the clearance from the RFL that's obviously then come from Australia to start with. Then we've got to apply to the solicitors and get PPE clearance, so they've got a letter that allows them to come into the UK. And then you've only got 4 weeks in which to get the visa done and everything else, because if not, they can't play. So you only get 4 week clearance.
I mean, I know you've been involved for years. Had there been a conscious decision not to get Australian billets before, or was it just a case of
players? We didn't have a sponsor license. So before you can even go through that process of getting Australians or any international player, should I say, you've got to be an international player sponsor and be set up as a club for that. So we've gone through that process, applied for that with the Home Office, and had the interviews and everything to be able to get past that point. And then once you've got that, then you can start using it. So again, this process started 5-6 months ago. So we've had to go to Home Office interviews and whatever else to get to this point, which isn't always clear when people are saying, well, why don't you just get a couple of Aussies in? Well, we can't because we're not even licensed to do so.
And the club are putting them up in houses and accommodation and stuff like that?
No, we've fully assisted with it.
Right.
So we've fully assisted with it, and I've viewed more properties than I care to mention. And taking videos and photographs and sending them back to the guys over in Australia. But I'm dealing with the estate agents and everything like that. But it's their house.
Right.
Because they might decide after 6 months of being in it that they want to move. Mm-hmm. So we've not taken them on as a club. We've guaranteed it and had to have those conversations and had it matched up to the club. But it's their house, because if they decide they want to move, it's entirely down to them. You want the ability. I mean, you wouldn't want to go somewhere and get specified where you're going to live, would you?
And I suppose, because people probably don't, you know, like I say, people always say, you need to go and get a place in Australia. But ultimately, we're just a part-time club. They're only training 2-3 nights a week, play a weekend, whatever. And so actually, there's an awful lot of time that they're not with the club that they've got to spend in those places.
And again, you've got different variances on the visas. So, I mean, I can't speak about any individuals, but the list of restrictions that you can get back can tip it anything from you can't work at all to you can only do 10 hours work and it's in these fields, or 20 hours a week's work and it's got to be on the government shortlisting. So that could be an electrician or education, sports. But you couldn't just go and be, if you were a brickie, you couldn't go and get as a job as a bricklayer.
Right.
You can't do self-employed work. So again, you're bringing Australians over and you're saying, we're going to support you getting a job. But until they get that visa, you don't know what restrictions have been placed upon them.
Moving on to, you've had 3 home games, so I guess you're probably a bit more happier now that you've had these 3 home games. But it feels like the early part of the season must have been a slog for you as a club, given the lack of home games. You were almost playing 1 home game in a month. How tough was that?
Extremely tough. Cash flow-wise, morale-wise. It is, again, like you said, you know, because you're in the sport, but people don't realise how much of an impact that has on us. A lot of our income comes from that. If we hadn't had the Warrington game, then we'd have been in full talks about how we were going to bridge the cash flow. Now, as it was, we had the Warrington game and then ended up with injuries. So the money that we actually got from Warrington paid for 2 operations. So we were thinking, obviously, Warrington game, you're getting all this income. Let's see what we can do and just strengthen the squad and improve cash flow. And then you end up with 2 operations that take up nearly 85% of the income from that game.
And again, the operations thing is probably something that people don't realise, because that's part of the consequence of the insurance situation in rugby league, isn't it?
Yes.
A lot of clubs don't run with... You've got some sort of insurance.
No, we don't have any insurance. Yeah, so again,
and that's because the premiums are so high, isn't it?
Yeah, so this year we got a quote for insurance, and just on our playing squad as it was, and declaring all previous injuries that were already on, our insurance quote started at £48,350. So we made the decision this year again that we were going with on an individual basis and seeing how we get on. Now, I can tell you, we are one of only 3 championship clubs that look at funding operations. I know there's a couple that do hybrid, and if not, they'll say, wait for the NHS. But obviously, when you're running at a squad size that we are, we need to have them operations done and get the lads back.
So I suppose when you see someone go down injured, it's almost a double whammy for you, because you're thinking, we've lost a player on the pitch, but then you're also thinking, this is going to cost us X amount to get sorted.
Yeah, I mean, seeing Dougie come off at the end of the game the other week and then being booted up and back in his crutches, I just thought, not again. Please, God, no. I saw him at the top of the stairs, and he was like, I hope I haven't done the same. I just said, you better bloody not have.
Yeah. I mean, it was a shame. The Warrington game was obviously a great occasion. You know, first, probably the biggest game that's been here for, you know, 7-8 years. Certainly,
yeah.
You know, maybe with the exception of the first one after administration, maybe. It was a shame that you couldn't necessarily follow that up with another home game. You know, it was another, I think, 4 weeks after it. So you lost almost the momentum that would have created.
Oh, yeah, we'd wanted to have a game straight away the following week, get it out there. I mean, we made contact with all the hospitality guests that we had at the Warrington game. But, like you say, you should be going out and getting them straight away and locking on to what we had that weekend. But we were getting hold of them but saying, would you like to come to our game in 4 weeks' time? And it just loses it, doesn't it? You want to be getting old. And I mean, we had just over 7,000 people here for that game, and only 2,900 and something of that was Warrington. So we wanted the rest back. If you come, you've had a great day. You want to be back in the stadium the week after. And that's where, to be fair, if we'd have got that win against York that we should have had, coming out of June with two wins and a draw, it would have been absolutely fantastic. But it'd have kept people going then for the away game. And then the bye week, I mean, the bye week is the stunner as well, isn't it? Because it just drops everything. But then two games at the end of July as well, which are going to be really good for us, because we've got games sponsored. So we've got 1,000 kids' tickets going out for both games that have been sponsored up by Holton Housing. So they're going out, and the Bradford games are inclusion round anyway. We've got the bus walker here and doing the food bank charity collections as well. Bouncy Castles are going to be on site. We've got a Reva bus bringing a bus up and doing a bit of a recruitment drive. But kids love a bus, don't they? So we'll have that outside. So let's hope we can carry on with the same, really.
Yeah, I mean, how much input can you have on the fish? There's a lot of fuss at the moment, you know. Obviously, the football, the clubs that have played football, like Oldham this weekend is a prime example.
Yeah.
Their pitch is unavailable. And I know they send something like 25 drafts of the fixtures before you get them, but as an individual club, how much say do you have? If you look at a fixture list, can you be like, well, actually, we've got to run a three games there, and we don't want to have three in a row. We want to move them.
You do get the opportunity to challenge them. You do get the opportunity beforehand to make requests. And if your request can be granted, then generally the RFL will. One of the main problems we've got is that we've got the multi-sports pitch, and it can be used in any weather. Obviously, all the football clubs that are having the pitches redone, they can't play at home during that time. So instantly, when they put the requests into the RFL, they put down that the pitch is unavailable for that amount of time. So, yeah, I mean, you're right about the fixtures. The fixtures were done, I think it was 14 times or something this year. And we ended up getting them through, obviously, just before they were going live. But I don't mind having a run away from home, as long as we've had some at home to start with.
Yeah.
But by the time they came, it was just a case of we made the decision as a board that we'll obviously we've got the fixtures, we need to go with it, and the cash flow would have to be managed out. But like, ideally for me, you'd have home away, home away, home away. But it's never going to work like that, especially, like you said, when people are ground sharing.
And like I say, I suppose it's all right not being home away, but when you're only having one home every 4 weeks, it's like it becomes even worse, doesn't it? Did the Warrington game give a little bit of a taste of what things could be like if you could point the club forwards and towards Super League game? Because, you know, obviously you've only come into the club in the Championship. Did it give you that sort of taste that that's what it could be like?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, the sponsors we spoke to that were here on that day, the fans. It's a long time since you've seen the stadium like that. I reported it back with our board, and I've said it to anyone else who's asked to before. That's my highlight of being here so far. Not getting to Wembley, even though that was in our first year. Seeing this stadium like that, and the fans in that. Obviously, when we, bit controversial, so we should miss that bit out. But obviously, when we could have won it,
The fact that it was a competitive game made a massive difference.
Yeah, it was very competitive. Yeah. But then, obviously, like the foot in touch and things like that, and the fans after it, nobody was put off by it. But seeing that stadium like that and thinking, can we get that back to what it was? I mean, I know there were only three stands open. Realistically, if we get past that point, we want all four open, don't we?
Yeah. Well, that's another can of worms, I think. We'll swerve that one. But obviously, speaking of Super League, now no one really knows what's going to happen with Super League moving forward. As things stand, the IMG criteria and rankings is still there and is still active. And, you know, last time we had a proper sit down was after the IMG announcement last year. Just give us an update on where the club are in relation to that and, you know, pointing the score in the right direction.
Yeah, so we're back on track to where we should have been. Obviously, we lost a lot of points last year for stuff that wasn't put across in the correct way or was interpreted wrongly or wasn't very clear on IMG documentation, shall we say. But the points that we dropped I can say now we're all fully restored. We've had our facilities audit, we've had our community audit, we've had our catchment area audit already, so we know that we've already got those points back. In terms of finances, we're not going to get any points back in those areas because it was COVID year, wasn't it? And I think every club had a good year based on COVID. So every club's going to be suffering the same again now because it's an average over 3 years. Like I said, one thing we can say as a club is that we stayed in the black last year by the time we got to the end of the year. As it was at the time, we were the only club in Championship that had. I don't know if that's still the case.
And that, I think I remember you mentioning that because that financial return will come into this year's score, won't it?
Yes.
So that presumably is an extra couple point, 2 points or something, is it, for record?
On the balance sheet one, I think it's still only 0.5 points.
Right.
That it doesn't really change it, but what it does do is if we maintain that for the next couple of years with the profit and loss that we're on, then we'll be back into where we should be. There are other things going on in the background that the directors are working on to try and secure and make sure that we get more points lifted again. We've had specific IMG meetings just to make sure that we're getting back to where we need to be. But I'm presuming other clubs will be doing the same.
Yeah, because I mean, I suppose who knows what's going to happen with Super League, but I guess you want to get yourselves into the conversation that if Joe Public's speculating about who should be in Super League, you want people to be having that conversation about, well, why can't Widnes have been one of them?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we hear it all the time. Bradford, London, York have got it stitched up. And obviously, if they have, they have. But it's certainly not the case as far as we're concerned. Everything, as we're aware, at the minute is still based on IMG points. Like I said, we don't know what's happening with Super League, I don't think. Anybody can say what's happening with Super League, can they? But we're certainly going back into the right direction of where we should have been to start with and then improving on it even more.
Talk about the finances a little bit, and I know you're very diligent on that side of things. People are always saying, we need a benefactor to come in, you need a millionaire to come in, and every club probably needs that. But in terms of...
Dropping my number, will
you? Yeah. In terms of looking the other way, is it still the case that things are steady and solid? There's no worries, and because I know that has been the case, in recent years where you've been looking after it well.
It's still a worry. It's a worry every single time. It's a worry that we're not getting the attendances that we thought we're going to get. Obviously, you've got to do a budget for 2 years in front, and you don't know what. Like I said, we don't know how many teams are going to be in Super League. We don't know how many teams are going to be in Championship. We don't know what our walk-ups are going to be on a game-by-game basis or anything like that. So everything is educated guesses, really. If we have a game and the attendance is down by 400 or 500, that massively impacts on cash flow. We knew after the IMG grading last year and then the reduction in RFL distributions that we would drop in even lower, and we had a massive black hole to fill this year, which is why we've ended up taking on additional shares. Obviously, we've got two new directors on within this financial year as well who bought in and bought blocks of shares as well. So we're making sure we're covering those gaps. That wouldn't be something that obviously can continue without getting a benefactor on board or seeing if more people buy shares. Obviously, it's not something that people are going to carry on doing.
I suppose if you keep doing it for 5 years, you'll end up with 20 directors, won't you?
Exactly.
Which is obviously a bit counterproductive to what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you've done that this year. Does that mean that next year the budget might be a bit less? Is that what you're thinking?
No, we've set the budget for next year already. So we've gone with a baseline budget of where we were this year. And then any improvement that we get on that obviously goes straight back into the playing squad anyway. So at the minute, Al's working with a baseline budget. We meet on a regular basis. Go through which players he's looking at, which players he wants to retain, and where he feels that he can get, I'm not going to say a better player because that's a wrong way to say it, but more value for money, shall we say. So if you've got players travelling and that's costing money, well, if we're having to cover that, is there someone else that we can get that's on these lines? Again, with the Australians, you're taking those on and you've got those contract values, but you've also got visa costs to pay and everything else that go with it. So again, people don't realise that much, but I have visa bills probably into £6,000-£8,000 now.
Mm. And that means you can't just keep signing them players just because it sounds nice. In terms of, you mentioned you give Alan the budget and you can have as many players as he wants within that budget to a point. Is there any thoughts from the board about the situation with players, you know, having so many, you know, having to get loan players in and dual reg? Is there an opinion on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a mixed bag, actually. Across the boardroom, we've got some directors who think it's pointless having loans for a week or two. A dual reg partnerships, whether it limits you, because people want you to be on with other teams. I mean, again, there's talks about that system changing and whether the loan and dual reg system's going to change next year, so we'll know more on that later in the year. I personally think it works well, because if something happens and you need to get a player in, we've got a lot of clubs that we deal with, that we have good relationships with, that we've managed to get players in as and when we've needed them. If it went back to a loan signing being for a minimum of 28 days, like it used to be, then who's going to give you as many players? But I do understand that thing of, like, Alan gets quite frustrated with it, and I fully appreciate why he does, because you can have a player in this week and say, right, I'm going to have them in, and my plan for the next 3 weeks is this, and I'm going to set my stall out now, and 8 days later, that player gets recalled.
Yeah.
So the plan that you've made and started to set in motion is no longer there to go with.
Yeah. Obviously, finances come into it as well. The business club seems to be going all right. See a lot of pictures going on.
Yeah, I think we're on 38, 39 members now. So it's obviously it's 4 weeks old today. So that's going quite well.
So what's that? You've added £50,000 to your budget already with that. So, well, you know, to cover your budget, if you like. Has that been good in terms of feeling support from businesses? I mean, I know it's £100 a month or whatever, but you're hoping that if them people have a good experience, that they then might, you've at least opened the door and the conversation with them for doing bigger and better.
Yeah, that's it. So it's like, as it is now, the coming on, it is feeling the love, you're right on that. It's you're feeling the support from them. And get knowing that they're working with you, but again, the benefits that they're getting back for that. So they come along to games. We'll have a few events a year that's just for business club, but when it comes round to the sales for next year, your existing sponsors will get it first, and then it'll go to business club members. So again, if you've got people who want to be getting in and getting on the shirt for next year and things like that, well, we've had some inquiries on the doors now, because obviously kit sponsorship deals are well underway. But even for box hospitality, because we get so many boxes we can sell, we get so many boxes that have to be available on a game-by-game basis. But again, the business club members are going to get first pick of all of them. So it's quite a few benefits that you're getting for £25 a week.
Yeah, yeah.
And your logo being on every game. So this year, certainly, as we're launching it and trying to get it going, Dan's updating the graphics every week. Yeah. So literally, I mean, where else are you going to get your logo shown on the big screen at a game, at every game, and you're only paying £25 a week?
Yeah. I mean, I must admit, the last couple of months, the stuff like hospitality has looked a lot more accessible. It's clearer what options you've got, you know, the ability to get the box. I even had a parent at my son's school actually did the mascot package recently for his lad, and he was telling me how good it was and how good value for money and stuff it was. So it does feel like you're building a little bit of momentum on that side of things.
Yeah, we've looked at all of our packages this year, so we've gone right back through those. Again, we're working with external caterers at the minute for what's going on. We're in full discussions with the council about other items that are available to us here. But we've got to increase that match day experience. And from the feedback that we got from people last year was that it wasn't good enough. And if we can improve it, we'll get people back here. I think mascot packages now, I think there's only one or two games now that we haven't got mascot packages sold for this year. But like I said, rather than having it where it's just one adult, one child coming along, let's make it an experience for the day. So it's two adults, two children, you get the shirt, you get to come down, meet Kemic, have a bit of a pass around with the ball, get your photographs taken by the club photographer, and then you're getting issued with those pictures. So you've got something to come away from that day with, rather than just saying, oh, I was mascot and we took a couple of pictures on my phone.
Yeah.
So
It certainly, you know, like I said, the pitches are great, you know, and building that up. In terms of, you mentioned the council there, obviously there's been a little bit of bad press the council this week with the football club situation. What is the current relationship like between you and the council?
We have a good relationship. Don't get me wrong, we have issues at times, but who doesn't? That's part of being in business, isn't it? One thing I will say is that the old relationships that were there where people wouldn't speak to each other certainly aren't there now. I mean, I had a meeting with the stadium manager and the ops director yesterday that was just an off-the-cuff thing, and have you got 10 minutes, we'll go in a room now and just have a chat about things. I've been coming back from Dewsbury today when I spoke to you on the way back here. And I've had a call from the ops director about something else. So we're in communication with each other on a regular basis. I don't know what the details are about the football club. I'll be honest, I haven't read about it either. But I hope that they manage to sort out whatever the differences are and get back, because obviously getting promoted at the end of last year, we want to be supporting the town.
Yeah. Does it help that you're here? Obviously now you do it, well, like you're down for 3 days a week, I think. I presume you're probably...
No, I'm here every day.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I know initially that's what you said, but you're probably... Does it probably help that you're here on the ground a bit more, do you think?
It probably does, but even so, even when I'm not here, I'm always contactable on the phone anyway, so it's 24/7, that thing, to be fair.
And how does it impact your day job, if you like, or your day, you know, where are you like in terms of balancing sort of having to make a living and doing that and running this place?
I mean, the main thing was obviously over the last 12 months, we'd sold a company, yeah. And as part of that, I was still retained. So effectively I've been getting paid by someone else for coming to work here. But no, obviously we've got a few other businesses that are working away and doing the stuff, so we'll just keep monitoring it and see how it goes. I mean, we've put an advert out this week for a general manager, which is basically, as you know, we operate here on 3.5 staff. That's all we have in the office. I don't, like, compared to other championship clubs, we are absolute baseline for where we would be.
What are your hopes for sort of the rest of the season then?
Still got to win for that top six, haven't we? Still got to be there. I mean, if we'd have won against York, I think we'd have actually been there now, wouldn't we?
Yeah, well, I mean, you get a couple of games, you know, if you get a couple of wins in a row or whatever, things turn around very quickly because of how close it is.
I say, apart from the bottom two clubs, everything else changes week to week, doesn't it? You just don't know what... And you're not safe in any game. Yeah. Nobody can go into a game in this league and say, oh yeah, we're going to smash that this weekend. Going to happen.
And I suppose finally, what's the message to the fans and the wider people on how they can best support the club moving forward?
Just come into the games, get behind Alan, get behind the lads. You see how they perform when there's more people here, because the crowd's going. I mean, that crowd against Toulouse at the weekend was fantastic, wasn't it? Absolutely fantastic. And just get behind them. Come and support them. It's like, you get down, not only are you coming down and getting behind the lads, but you'll end up with a shirt, you'll end up with a scarf or anything else. So yeah, although we're getting the minimal bit of money coming in from that, it's making so much more of a difference out there on the pitch.
There was a wedding in the South Stand at the weekend.
There was, yes.
I have to ask her to get married every week if that's what it's going to be like.
They came up to the box as well and watched some of it.
Yeah, well, someone sent me a picture from the North Stand, actually, of them sitting watching the first half in the box. So, yeah, it was an interesting one. And actually, it felt like, I know it was a bit awkward, everyone going to the bowler after the game, but actually downstairs, and I don't know whether it was because of the win, actually downstairs afterwards, it felt like there was a bit more of a vibe going on.
I mean, the bowler was absolutely packed, wasn't it? Did you go over
there? I went past on my way through, but...
And I walked in and I walked straight back out the other door because you couldn't even move.
Yeah.
It was crazy in there, but... Again, just the fact of it being, I don't know if that made a difference on the Saturday night game. Is it something that we need to look at in the future? Seeing whether we look at Friday nights or Saturday nights. I mean, Friday nights, you're then contending with people being in work. But they're all things for us to look at and discuss as a board. And with Alan, because again, we've got to make sure it works for our players.
Yeah.
If we've got Yorkshire-based players or anything that are coming over, like, you don't want to be having a game on a Friday night, but actually, does a Saturday night work better? And then people can go over there and have a few drinks. Go locally, have a bit to eat in the afternoon or anything else like that. So,
I knew there was one thing I hadn't asked you, and it was about the live. No, it's not too bad. It was the live streaming. So my understanding is that Is that to do with IMG points that you've decided to live stream? I think, is there a half a point or something?
Yes, yeah, so it's 0.125 points. Right. But you've got to do 5 games. It has to have commentary, it has to have graphics, and it has to be a minimum of 3 camera setup. So again, we prepared for this at the beginning of the year, and then the criteria changed. Right. So we were all ready to go, and then it changed. But so there's 5 games that are going on in total. So I can't remember the last ones that are on. Certainly London, I think Hunslet.
Doncaster, you want to
say. It'll be Doncaster, yes. Bradford won't be streamed. It's all to make sure we're meeting the criteria and getting those additional points. And as you know, the value that we get from RFL distributions is calculated from that IMG score. And if it comes to the fact of clubs going up or down, and how gutted would we be if we lost out on a place in Super League by 0.1 points because we hadn't streamed some games and got 0.125 points for it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and they're the balances. They're the things you've got to juggle. And I suppose, like you say, you don't know what's going to happen with IMG in the future, but you've still got to be the best that you can.
Got to prepare for it either way, yeah. So all of our business plans that we're working on at the minute, and the strategic plan for the next 5 years, the marketing and media plan, they're all being done based on 2 or 3 scenarios at the minute, which is actually just creating a lot more work for us.
Yeah.
But we don't know what direction we're going to be going in. We don't know what's going to be changing or anything else. So you've got to prepare for all variations of it.
Bottom line is, you need people in the stadium and you need to be winning games, no matter what the system is.
Yeah.
But yeah, Stuart, thanks very much for your time.
No worries at all.
Again, a huge thank you to Widnes Vikings chairman Stuart Murphy for accommodating the interview. I'm sure you'll agree, it provides great insight into the day-to-day happenings at the club at the moment. As ever, please do leave your feedback and comments via the Widnes Rugby League fans Facebook page. You can message me directly on Twitter at JDG Sport, or of course, leave a review or comment on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Mike Parsons is on his holidays this week, but myself, James Gordon, and he will be back next week for the next episode of the Widnes Rugby Chat podcast following the Oldham game. We'll see you then.